Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Red Sox Review, and it starts right now. Here's your host, Joe Weil.
A euphoric Sunday afternoon in the city of Boston. The Red Sox sweep the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Celtics take game one of their series against the Miami Heat in convincing fashion. They win that 114-94. Red Sox a winner today, 6-1. In the finale against the Buccos, and the Sox just continue to play good baseball on the road. Now 10-3 away from Fenway Park, and on top of that, they win today with a lineup that featured a lot of players you didn't expect to see in the lineup together when this season began. Remember, the Red Sox starting infield, the one you thought would be the infield going into this season, none of the guys that you thought would be in that infield played in the infield today because of injuries. Tristan Casas now on the 10-day injured list. Vaughn Grissom working his way back. He's in Worcester right now. Trevor Story, you know, by now, out for the season. Rafi Devers working his way back from that bone bruise in his left knee, and hopefully he'll be back on Tuesday. But you missed all those guys today. Masataka Yoshida didn't even play in the lineup today. He wasn't utilized by Alex Cora. He wanted to give him some extra rest going into this series against Cleveland. And this team found a way to beat the Pirates. They did their part. They pitched well and ended up picking up a sweep, a convincing one in which they committed just one error in three games against the Pirates. So that's what you love to see coming off the homestand. Joe Weil with you here inside the WEEI studios. Zach Coe behind the glass. If you want to call in either about the Red Sox or the Celtics, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We're going to shift our way towards Celtics talk as we continue along with the hour. Jason Tatum posting his first career playoff triple-double today, and he didn't even score all that much in the win for the Celtics today against the Miami Heat, but the team ended up knocking down 22 three-pointers. That ties a Celtics playoff record. So they got the job done against this Miami team that's without Jimmy Butler, and it's a series that should be a sweep. We'll see how it plays out. Miami plays tough, and even at the end, they kind of brought the score closer to what you would hope it would be by the end. But the Celtics, they still took care of business. And I have a talking point, too, from the game about the way the team handled a hard foul that Caleb Martin gave Jason Tatum and the way Jaylen Brown came in and ended up kind of breaking that up and also just standing up for JT and about this team's chemistry and why they really could put up banner number 18 this year. But again, if you want to call in, 617-779-7937. Hit us on the text line as well, 37937. But we do want to hear what Alex Cora had to say after the Red Sox win, because this was an eventful weekend. You know, Red Sox Pirates, it's not exactly marquee stuff. However, coming off the bad homestand, this team came into this road trip with a lot to prove, trying to put themselves back above 500. They've done that now, three games above 500 at 13-10, but they have the Tristan Casas injury that they have to deal with now. He's on the 10-day IL with that left rib strain, and he didn't sound very positive in which he was talking about this being Tristan Casas. Casas, before the game, seemed pretty upset with just what happened, because he sounded pretty downtrodden, honestly. And this team may be without him for some time. It's a testament to Alex Cora to keep this team together and win games. And one of the most frequent calls I get, I swear we're going to get to the Alex Cora sound in 1 second, but I just want to get this point off. I get so many calls doing these shows about Alex Cora and what he should be doing. And I've said this many times. He's not perfect, but you have to give him credit when he deserves it. And this is one of those series where he deserves credit. He played the bullpen perfectly. He played the lineups perfectly. Even today, Masataka Yoshida not being in it, I was a little confused as to why he wasn't in the lineup. Well, you know what? They didn't end up needing him, and now you have him rested going into the next series. And this is why you appreciate a guy like this being your manager with a team that has dealt with all the injuries that they have dealt with. All right, let's go to the sound. I kept Zach waiting long enough. Let's now toss to what Alex Cora had to say after the win.
It was a total team effort. We know where we had roster-wise right now. Cass is down. Rafi and Tyler didn't play in this series, and the boys did a good job. Having Ref back meant a lot in the lineup, in the clubhouse, defensively. He did an outstanding job, and then the rest of them, they were amazing. You know, Abreu today with the at-bats, the base running was solid. The defense had, we've been able to slow it down a little bit, and obviously the pitching, you know, that's been the constant. You know, we were really good on the mound.
Yeah, how did Wink kind of set you guys up for the day?
Yeah, I mean, first inning, they hit the ball hard, but after that, he settled down. His stuff was good, and, you know, we found some lanes for Booze, and then, you know, Slayton, who got his first big league win, was good again. And, you know, we're throwing the ball well. I think the defense is slowing down. It's slowing down. I know we threw a ball away, then Pablo made a great play. Bobby coming in, finish it, and, you know, the outfield played great. So, if we do that, we're going to be better, but we still have work to do.
What do you think of the at-bats Warrior's been putting together? He's been on base a lot.
Yeah, he, you know, we've been talking about him for a while, and spring training, we know about the strikeouts and all that, but it was a good one. It was a good one, and early on, because of the way we were constructed, it was hard to get him at bats, but he will play. He will play. He did a good job against a tough lefty, too. You know, he hung in there with him. Hit the ball hard. He's a good defender. We move him here to left field because of the dimensions, and he played great. So, you know, very happy for him gaining confidence.
Alex, with all the injuries, you guys are 13-10. I mean, what do you attribute that to?
Youth, to be honest with you. They don't know any better, some of them. You know, they just show up every day willing to work. The coaching staff have done an amazing job. You see the work we put in. You know, it's a little bit different than in the past, you know, more specific, more actually. And it's been good. It's a different group than in the past. And that's something, you know, sometimes in scouting reports, in the meetings, we did this last year against them. I'm like, no, we didn't. You know, this is different. And it's a good bunch. You know, it's a good group that they care about each other. Chemistry goes a long ways, you know, and we have some good players too. So off day tomorrow, and then be ready for the Guardians. They're playing well. They just swept Oakland, and they're playing good baseball.
Do you think Wink will stay in the rotation at this point?
For now, where we at, most likely. We're going Hauk to be determined, and Bello, and then it's Cutter, and most likely Wink will start the game on Saturday.
More satisfying
like when you have DJDs in or Rafi, those guys in the lineup. October 28th is the most satisfying win in my career, so we're trying to accomplish that, but that felt good in a sense that we use everybody. We set the lineup in a certain way, and it actually worked. The lefty thing, we were going to do that anyways against Martin because we feel like, you know, he feels comfortable with the righties, just back throwing that backdoor cutter, using the changeup, and we wanted the lefties at least to give him a different look, and they did a good job.
Is Yoshida okay?
Yeah, he's okay, yeah.
You mentioned the Guardians. They put the ball in play. How ready do you guys have to be defensively?
I mean, we saw it in the last series, right? We didn't make plays. They took advantage of that. But, you know, we're going to have Rafi offensively. We're going to have Tyler offensively, so it should be a little bit different. But at the end of the day, I think we go as far as our defense. You know, the defense was a lot better in this series, and you saw the results.
All right, so that was Alex Cora talking after the Red Sox 6-1 win today over the Pittsburgh Pirates, and he had some interesting stuff in there. First things first, he talked about the rotation and what it'll look like upcoming here. So for the Cleveland series, it's going to be Tanner Houck, TBD, and then Brian Bello, and then after that, Cutter Crawford and Josh Winkowski. So they're going to keep Josh Winkowski in the starting lineup here against, in the starting rotation to give what he gave today, which was ultimately 3 1/3 innings. But again, it goes Houck, TBD, and then Brian Bello for the next three coming up here against the Cleveland Guardians. So it'll be interesting to see what that team or what this team does against the Guardians, because they're playing great baseball right now, and they actually have the best record in the American League. They came into today's action looking for a sweep against the A's. They got it, so they're now 16-6 overall, and they've won four in a row. And they also came in today with the most runs scored in the American League as well. So they're turning out to be actually a pretty good team, at least here in the early goings. But on top of that, one of the last things Alex Cora said there was how important it is to play clean defensive games. And they did that for the most part here against the Pirates. We saw the one error on Friday by Seidon Raffaello, but the last two games they played clean games, and they win when they play clean games. Even at the homestand where they went 3-7, they won every single game at Fenway Park that they didn't commit an error. So it's sometimes baseball can be complicated, but sometimes it can be so simple. You know, you play strong defensively, good things happen. That's the case for the Red Sox, as it was today. Again, we got double-barreled action for you here for the next 50 minutes here on WEI. We're going to talk Red Sox. We're going to talk Celtics. They played, of course, game one of their first-round series against the Miami Heat, rematch of last year's Eastern Conference Finals, back-to-back Eastern Conference Finals. It's amazing with the Celtics and the Heat, the fact that they've played them now, if you include this year, four of the last five seasons, and it's been back and forth, right? Of course, Miami won in the bubble in 2020. Celtics got him back, won in seven games, though. It was a heart-stopping finish in game seven in 2022, where you thought they were going to blow it in the most epic way. They didn't. They made the finals. And then last year, they ended up losing game seven at home. This feels like it's going to be a quick series, but we will talk more about that. Let's get to the phones first. Let's go to Carl in Westfield. He wants to talk about the Red Sox sweep. Carl, thanks for joining us.
Joe, wow. Imagine you are so spoiled and so championship sedated that the Celtics wiped a league team. Wait till you hear what we just did 3 games. You just forgot the Bruins, the NHL.
All I was talking about was today. It's been a great weekend, obviously. Bruins winning game one yesterday, but I was just focusing on today.
Yes, sir, and boy, let's focus on today. Hey, you just described it. David versus Goliath, Godzilla versus King Kong in the next series, the best team versus the strongest. If we get the three pitchers and Kentley to shut them down, I can't wait to see what happens. But this is the reality of Pittsburgh. They may not be the greatest team, although it's the beginning of the year, and none of us can really gauge that accurately because we don't have anything to base it on except prior years. So even a bad team is going to get one good game. And they got four runs in three games. And then the first two games, again, the two runs right off the rip in the first inning, the pitchers are at ease. And 10 strikeouts and 10 strikeouts in the first two games. Tonight, what a treat. You know, we were able to pitch our way out of bases loaded. We gave up on bases loaded today. But like you said, with the oddball injuries and the next man up, these people we don't expect, and they're like offensive barraging right off the rip. And then no Yatsuhiro tonight, but the other gentleman picked it up with a two-run and give us the insulation. These new guys are just ripping it. It's like a potpourri. Where did this team come from? They just did it three games in a row. That's not easy.
Yeah, it's been impressive, right? Here on the road against, this Pirates team is not good. And Carl, appreciate the call, and I apologize to Zach most specifically here for forgetting the Bruins. He's got the sweatshirt on right now, the hoodie, and I know he was here watching the game yesterday. I mean, I know it was a really convincing win too for the Bees. I watched some of it as well, and was watching all the Celtics while the Red Sox were going on as well. Well, listening to Joe and Lou on the call today. But Zach, I apologize to you. And Carl, who's upset I didn't include the Bruins in the fun of the weekend. I was just talking about today, but who could forget the Bees, obviously?
That's all right. You were just talking about today, so a big deal.
Listen, if you want to call in again, Bees, Celtics, Red Sox, 617-779-7937. It's been a fun weekend here in Boston. But to just go back to what Carl was talking about, you have to give credit to the guys that have been able to be plugged in and get the job done. And a couple shout-outs here. First off, Seidon Raffaello, last two games, hasn't committed an error at shortstop, and he even made a really nice play in the Friday game on an Andrew McCutchen ground ball. He committed an error in that game, but listen, you push that away, there are going to be some blips as he transitions to now playing shortstop full-time in the major leagues, he's certainly capable of doing it. But I think you got to give him some credit. He got on base a couple times today. Rob Refsnyder, this is why you have guys like Rob Refsnyder on your roster. This is an experienced guy. He's been through a lot in his career, and he got the extension last year with the Red Sox, which was well-deserved. He mashed his left-handed pitching. Last year, he was second among qualified hitters with 140 plate appearances and on-base percentage. And since he's been with the Red Sox, he's hit over 300 against left-handed pitchers. So this is the perfect situation in which you plug him in, and they need him right now. I mean, it's not just plugging him in. He has to be in the lineup, or he had to be during this weekend series. But he hits a big RBI double in the third inning to tie the game up at one. He ends up scoring later in the sixth inning. He reaches on catcher's interference, but also walked in this game as well. You got to give him some love. You got to give Bobby Dalbec at least some love defensively, even if he can't do anything offensively right now. And then that catching duo, Connor Wong, Reese McGuire. We heard from Reese McGuire after the game. The pinch hit two-run single that he hit in the fifth inning ends up giving the Red Sox some breathing room. And that catching tandem, we're all excited about Kyle Teal. I actually spoke to him in our pregame show today, and he's an awesome guy. But you got to give some love to Reese McGuire and Connor Wong for what they've been able to do offensively for the Red Sox to begin this season. They have been awesome. And it's one of those unexpected things that we've already seen from this team. You think about the starting rotation and how good that they've been, and the ERA that they came into today with 1.71, best in Major League Baseball. But then on top of that, some other surprises like Connor Wong and Reese McGuire doing it offensively. It's been big for a team that has been absolutely killed by the injuries. No Tristan Casas, put on the 10-day IL officially today, and we'll see how the Red Sox do without him now, and we'll find out in the upcoming days just how long this team will be without him. But again, outside of the injuries, great day here in Boston. Celtics win, Red Sox win. We're talking about both here going up to 6 p.m. But in the meantime, we get to bring in Zach Coe officially for the first time. He's going to tell you what's trending.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
A perfect Boston weekend on the sports side of things. Bruins win yesterday. Celtics win today, beating the Miami Heat 114-94 in their first game of their first round series. And the Red Sox with a sweep against the Pittsburgh Pirates. They win 6-1 today against the Buccos. So they have improved to 13-10. On the season, and now 10-3 away from Fenway Park. But we're going to be taking you close to 6 p.m. here with Celtics chat, Celtics talk, and Red Sox talk as well. If you want to get into the conversation, 617-779-7937. You can also text us at 37937. Joe Weil with you, Zach Coe behind the glass. The vibes are good right now in Boston. Hopefully they can continue for all the teams, the Bruins, the Celtics, and the Red Sox, and the Patriots. They got, you know, the draft's coming up this week. So whatever you hope that the Patriots do in the draft happens, it won't appease everybody.
Unless you want J.J. McCarthy.
Everybody except him. That's where you feel like, okay, there's no way to even, maybe no way to spin this as a little dramatic, but you won't be that excited about it. But anyway, nice to have two teams in the playoffs, and then the Red Sox, you know, battling through the injuries that they are, playing the way that they are, which is really well away from Fenway Park. Now they're 13-10, and Justin Long, who's the manager of baseball communications and media relations with the Red Sox, put out this note, which sometimes you see things like these and it can be a little bit selective, but I just think it's fun to bring up. Red Sox 13-10, they're on a 91 win pace right now. The most recent Red Sox teams to go 13-10 or better through 23 games, 2021, 2018, 2016, 2013, 2009, 2008, 2007. What do all those teams have in common?
Playoffs.
There you go. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Just again, trying to win a game.
A little early. Again, want to call in 617-779-7937. Let's talk to Wally in Fall River, who's been waiting patiently. Always one of my favorite guys to talk to, especially after a Red Sox win. Wally!
Yeah, what's up, Joe? I mean, let's face it, the Pirates stink. But you have to give Cora, I always give Cora credit. I mean, he's got a thin bench. He's plugging in people wherever he can. I mean, no Cassis in the lineup, no Devers, no O'Neill. Story's gone for the year. But I give the guy credit, but these guys are scrappy now. If you don't make errors, you don't give the team extra outs, you always have a good chance to win. But let's hope we go into Cleveland now. Maybe we can take two out of three because you get the Cubs. It's still early in the season, but these games still got you playing a lot better teams now. We haven't played the Yankees, Baltimore, Tampa Bay, the Rangers, Houston. We haven't hit the lion part of the schedule yet. But it's all going to depend on where they are, I think, around Memorial Day, what Craig Breslow does with this team as far as picking people up. You hope Cassis isn't out for a while. He got off to a good start, and, you know, we've just been hit real hard by injuries. It's still young in the season, but we've really been blasted by injuries. But it's going to be an interesting season. They're playing better, and like I said, if you don't make errors, you can win games.
Yep, without a doubt, Wally, and appreciate the call. Always appreciate you chiming in if you want to grab his line, 617-779-7937. I mean, the Tristan Casas part of this is massive, right? And it was not encouraging to hear him say before today's game, I'm in a lot of pain right now, talking about the left rib strain that he currently has and came after a 3-1 swing on Saturday and the fact that he had to be taken out after the top of the first inning pretty much said it all for you. I love the spirit, by the way, from him, the mentality that he told Alex Cora that he would still go out there to play defense, you know, play first base. It was just that he couldn't go up to bat again, but Alex Cora, being the smart guy he is, saying, all right, let's not worry about this. But this team's finding a way right now. I tend to find when teams lose key pieces, in the immediate aftermath of that, they find a way to rally and win. It doesn't happen all the time, but you do see a lot in sports. It's the long-term part of it that is very stressful and could ultimately do this Red Sox team in if they continue to have injuries hit them the way that they have. It's remarkable that their entire infield that you had slated to be your infield for the season couldn't play today with Casas on the 10-day IL with that left rib strain, Vaughn Grissom working his way back from a groin strain. And then your shortstop, Trevor Story, out for the season. Rafi Devers has got the bone bruise. And then even Tyler O'Neill going out to the outfield, who is hitting like prime Babe Ruth in some ways. Maybe that's a little dramatic. But with Tyler O'Neill, there was a point in which he was swinging it so well, I almost felt like pitchers should have approached him like they did Barry Bonds in his prime, or like at least in those latter years when he was, you know, roided up and being the cyborg type player that he was, the robot type player that he was. Anyway, the point being is that this team's taken a lot of hits, yet they've found a way to win, which makes them fun to watch. And I think it's why, as a fan, despite being frustrated about the offseason, which is completely valid, in being frustrated about the way that they played at home, there's a reason to still be interested in what's going on. And this team's 13-10. They have a big test coming up against the Guardians coming up here. Starting on Tuesday with the Guardians being right now the best team in the American League. And it seemed that can swing it way more than I expected coming into the year. They did just play the A's, so not exactly the best of the bunch here in Major League Baseball that they're facing off against. But the record is a record, and they're 16-6.
They've also, that's the second time they've
played
the
A's. And the second time they've played the A's, yeah. So they've beaten up on some bad teams. Want to get to one text right now, and then we're going to switch gears to the Celtics. If you want to call in again, 617-779-7937. Again, 617-779-7937. We had a texter chime in saying, got to be happy with 13-10 considering the injuries, and thank goodness they seem to have figured out a defensive alignment that works. And let's hear some love for Ref Snyder coming back and lifting this lineup. We did give some love to Rob Ref Snyder in the previous segment, but always happy to do it. And I think it's Tom Karen who says, if you don't love Rob Refsnyder, you don't love baseball. Rob Refsnyder, even though it's been only a couple games he's been back, it's just nice to have a veteran in there that knows their way around this game, that's been there, done that, and he's a specialized player when you're a full-strength roster because he's best against left-handed pitchers. He really does damage against lefties, and that's why it was great to have him at least be healthy in the lineup today, and he produces an RBI double in the third inning that helps turn the tide there for the Red Sox after falling down 1-0. But I agree with what the texter was saying as well, saying, you know, it's nice to have a defensive alignment you know that works, or that's been figured out, right? We all thought, I think, that once Trevor Story went down, once we saw David Hamilton play a couple games, that the move to make was to have Seydon Rafaela be your shortstop. And he's been your shortstop now for a couple games, and I like what I've seen from him up the middle. You have to live with some errors, again, just because he'd been playing center field. Now you're aligning him in a different spot in, you know, on the field, obviously an important spot. But that being said, he's got experience there. He's supposed to be a plus defender there. And Jarren Duran, I think, gets a little overstated, his defense. There are people out there that worry about it. Now, if it was 2022 Jarren Duran, I would be concerned with you. I would be I'd be very worried because of what we saw. And I, you know, listen, he's done so many good things since that season. But when I think of Jarren Duran 2022, I just think of the inside the park home run by Raimel Tapia that'll forever be etched in my brain. But he's been much better since then. And maybe league average is probably the best way to describe him. Not a great arm, but his jumps have been a lot better. And that's something that has made him a better defender. But I think this is just the way you have to have it set up. And if they can get Devers back and O'Neill back on Tuesday, which is what is expected, and apparently Raffy Devers was actually begging Alex Cora to get into the lineup today, and Cora decided against it. So nice to hear that, and it'd be great to get those two bats in there. You start to see what you have, and again, hopefully they can go into Cleveland. I think what you would root for is them taking 2 out of 3. Because a sweep with how well the Guardians are playing, probably not what you can expect. But if you win that series, you come back home. And as I've talked about many times, the April slate, not all that daunting for the Red Sox this season. Because they have Cleveland coming up, and then they get the Cubs, and then they'll have the Giants after that. Two teams that aren't necessarily spectacular. I mean, the Cubs have struggled in their series against the Marlins. You know, the Marlins, who are one of the worst teams in baseball, the Cubs are 13-9, but still, you know, not as exactly world beaters. I think you can do damage against them, especially with a team that doesn't have a whole lot of track record. One more texter coming in saying, yes, Pirates are bad, but even against a bad team, you can't fake improved defense. That's the most encouraging takeaway for me, and I agree with the texter. You know, these texters are coming in with some pretty good takes. Doesn't always happen, right?
Making way too much sense. Yeah, right. The next five have to be fire Alex Cora to balance it out.
Yeah, exactly. I won't read the ones before that, but because there's some hot takes in there. But shout out the texters. If you want to chime in text-wise, 37937. Again, if you want to call in, 617-779-7937. Joe Weil with you here on the WEEI studios, taking you up to 6 o'clock. Red Sox win 6-1 today, and then the Celtics end up beating the Miami Heat by a score of 114-94. Some noteworthy stuff from the game if you missed it. Celtics made 22 three-pointers today. That ties their franchise record for a playoff game. And then Jason Tatum, he ends up finishing with a triple-double, the first of his playoff career, 23 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. And it really was all Celtics from the get-go in this one. They jumped out to a 14-0 lead. Miami at times would bring it closer, but you know the Celtics pretty handily took this one. And I think for the collective trauma of the fan base of these recent battles against the Heat, you know, I'm not talking about 2011 or 2012. I'm obviously focusing on from 2020 to last year. I think just the name Miami Heat brings, you know, some unsettledness to your stomach, right? Because of the close battles that have taken place over the last several seasons. And the fact that the Heat, I think it's fair to say in all three series, 2020, 2022, and 2023, were the less talented team, yet they won two out of three. But I think it hit everybody. At least I hope so. If you don't agree with me, I would love to hear your thoughts. 617-779-7937. I think this series, especially without Miami having Jimmy Butler, I think you could take a big, deep breath and relax a little bit. There are going to be times that the Heat play a close... They may show a level of intensity and do things that... They'll steal some possessions and some points away from the Celtics in a way that maybe brings them close in games. But I just think the talent disparity, when you have a Celtics team that in the regular season put together a point differential that's the fifth best in NBA history, with the three teams that are the four teams ahead of them, the 71-72 Lakers, 70-71 Bucks, 95-96 Bulls, 2016-2017 Warriors, all of which have won championships. And yes, there are a couple teams after the Celtics this year who didn't win championships that are close to them in that scoring margin statistic that I'm bringing up, like the Warriors in 2015-2016 that won 73 games and lost to the Cavs, and then the Spurs team of the that same season, 2015-2016. It's just a different team. And you think about all the moves that they made to get to this point where they put together such a juggernaut and the key pieces that they shipped out and then brought in. It's a testament to Brad Stevens and really Wick Grosbeck as well, because he's talked about this and how after Game 7 he knew he needed to change this team. And he did. They ship out Rob Williams. They ship out Malcolm Brogdon. They get Drew Holiday back in that trade. They make the most gutsy trade of the offseason from their standpoint of shipping out Marcus Smart and getting back Kristaps Porzingis. And to me, it all still rides on his health too. Like, you know, we know with Porzingis how good a player he is, especially in this ecosystem with the Celtics. But what matters the most is him staying healthy the entire way. And what you can't do in the playoffs is rest him in a way that you did in the regular season. And some texts are coming in right now. We'll get to those in a moment. But it's a testament to the front office that they had the balls to make these moves, and they've created this juggernaut. And they've set themselves up in a way where, you know, everyone's talking about the open path right now to the NBA Finals. Well, they helped create that. Now, the Jimmy Butler injury, that wasn't their doing. But Miami, they put themselves in this situation where they have to make the path harder for them, as they did last year. And so they end up playing two extra play-in games, and Butler gets hurt in that one. And I want to get to one texter. They're saying there's an alternative timeline where Tatum doesn't hurt his ankle and they win last year's Game 7 pretty easily. And where I understand that, and I do, there's a part of my brain that thinks about that game and if he doesn't get hurt, what happens? I still think they would have lost in the finals. Like, that Denver team last year was rolling and humming in a way that even if that Celtics team last year could get to the finals, they were going to get smashed by Denver. I feel pretty confident saying that because of the connectivity of the Nuggets, the fact that you have Jokic, and the fact that the Celtics really hemmed and hawed their way to even getting to Game 7 at that point. So I understand the Celtics fans, you know, I understand the mindset of all of us being like, okay, Game 7, so, you know, if Tatum's healthy, good things happen. That being said, I still don't think they win the championship.
Yeah, who guards Jokic in that scenario? Well, you don't have a Porzingis-like presence.
Right, so you have Porzingis now. And then on top of that, you just have an overall team that is just so much better. I think the crazy thing is you look at all the guys they shipped out and the seasons they ended up having, with Rob Williams playing six games and then out for the season. Marcus Smart only plays 20 games. Malcolm Brogdon plays just 39. Like, imagine if you don't do anything and you keep all those guys. Instead, you get a guy in Drew Holiday who's now going to be in the Olympics again, that's won an NBA championship and wasn't just a guy that rode the bench. No, he was maybe the second best player. I think conservatively, he's at least a top three player on that Milwaukee team that won a couple years ago and made one of the best defensive plays in NBA Finals history as well. And then you get Kristaps Porzingis, you know, coming in and adding a whole new dimension. I think you can rest easy, and I hope you feel that way after this that first game against Miami. The only part that I think you felt something in your stomach was right at the end of the game where Miami started to make a little bit of a run and get back into it. But it did set up what I wanted to hit on before we go to a break here. And again, if you want to call in 617-779-7937, again, 617-779-7937. There was a play toward the end of the game where Caleb Martin ends up making hard contact with Jason Tatum. I don't think it was dirty necessarily in the sense that he was intending to do this, this being Caleb Martin, but Tatum went down and Jaylen Brown steps in and, you know, immediately does a smart thing, immediately kind of steps in to just get the two players away from each other and then stands up for Jason Tatum. I mean, it ends up barking back at Caleb Martin. And I know that's a little thing in a game in which they won by 20 and that they were in full command of. It just felt like there were times the last couple years where there wasn't the type of harmony that we've seen with this year's team. You know, the jokes between Jaylen Brown and Kristaps Porzingis, the cookies and cream thing. I mean, that's like fun stuff like that on top of just elite level play on a consistent night in, night out basis is the difference between last year and this year. And like that texture, you can do whatever you want in thinking about last year and what could have happened. Well, I think things worked out the way that they were supposed to last year. And I mean that because of this year's team and the collective group that they have together, that they've at least set themselves up that their ceiling is NBA championship. They've done remarkable stuff, historic stuff in the regular season. And yes, they could have won last year, but this year's team, you know, of course, bearing injury, you can always say that for any type of situation. But this team, this year feels just different. I think we've all felt that way this season about this Celtics team. There's no, you know, worrying about the types of things you did last year. Although I think with Joe Mazzulla, I'd still like to see it in a postseason run to truly feel comfortable. But that being said, they took care of business today, and that's what they were supposed to do. But Zach, that didn't always happen against Atlanta. It didn't happen in the second round either last year. And then, of course, in the Miami series, the fact that they lose three games at home, they fell down 3-0. They set themselves up in a bad spot. I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think Denver's the only team that you look at and say, okay, they can match up from a talent level standpoint. I think we're a little worried about the Knicks and worried in the sense of they'll bring physicality. There's especially the size that they have. Can make things difficult. And Jalen Brunson, I mean, he's going to get MVP votes because he's been that good. But the path is open, and the team that you lost to last year doesn't have the key guy on it, the big bad wolf. This should be easy, and at least the first night it was.
And I know you mentioned that play with Caleb Martin hitting Tatum. Joe Mazzulla in his postgame press conference said that he was entertained while watching that because he wanted to see how they were going to respond to somebody going at Tatum like
that. It's just little tests. The Celtics have passed him. Again, I think what we're heading for, this is just a prediction, we're heading for Denver-Boston. At least it feels that way. And I was watching the Nuggets last night against the Lakers. That game was funny, and we're going to hit a break in a moment, but that game was interesting to me because Lakers, they were up at the halftime break, but basketball is a funny sport where you can be winning at halftime, but it really feels like you're losing as if you don't have a big lead. And the Lakers, I thought, outplayed the Nuggets in the first half, and yet it was the fact that they're only up three, you're like, okay, they're going to lose this game. Then the Nuggets blew them out. They're the champs. You got to knock them out. The Celtics have lost them twice this year. And again, both teams have to get there to actually make this the NBA Finals. But Celtics, one win down, still 15 to go. They win by a score of 114-94 today against the Miami Heat. All Boston, all weekend. Bruins win yesterday. Celtics win today. So do the Red Sox. 6-1 final over the Pittsburgh Pirates. They're now 13-10 on the season on a 91-win pace and now 10-3 on the road. Back to wrap things up right after this on WEI.
Everything Boston Red Sox. This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
All right, wrapping things up here on a great Sunday afternoon here in Beantown. Red Sox win today 6-1 over the Pittsburgh Pirates. They complete a sweep over the Buccos. And then on top of that, playoff basketball back in Boston. Celtics take game one, 114-94 over the Miami Heat. Rematch of the Eastern Conference Finals of the last 2 years. And it always feels the best when you beat your rival. Miami pretty much is that at this point with the way that these two teams have matched up in the playoffs in three of the last 4 years. And I think one talking point, and we'll wrap things up, both Celtics and Red Sox talk here as we close things out with the Celtics. We hit on the last segment about this is going to be, this should be an easier series, obviously, without Jimmy Butler. And it should be a series in which anything less than a sweep feels like a disappointment with how historically good this team was in the regular season. Again, the fifth best point differential of all time, and a Miami Heat team that does not have Jimmy Butler. But on top of that, hopefully today sets the tone for the Celtics for how they play at TD Garden. Because last year, the fact that they lost six times at home is pretty unfathomable. And it's why when you do any what-ifs about last year, I think you have to just look back at that and say, okay, this probably wasn't a team that's going to win a championship, even if Jason Tatum didn't roll his ankle in Game 7. This year's team has to be better at home. They set the tone with it today in their win against the Miami Heat. And they're going to be playing better competition as they progress here in the playoffs, right? The Cavs slash Magic are better than this version of the Heat team of the Heat without Jimmy Butler. They might not have as good of a coach, Eric Spoelstra, Hall of Fame coach, but those teams are going to be better. And then whoever you play in the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, likely to be better. And I think a lot of people thinking it probably will be the Knicks. We'll obviously see how it shakes out. Could be the Bucks if they get Giannis back, or. I don't think the Pacers, but I think they could win that first round series against the Bucks. And boy, what a disappointment that would be for Milwaukee if they end up losing in the first round with all the offseason stuff that they did, shipping out Drew Holiday and bringing in Damian Lillard. But anyway, for the Celtics, you wanted them to take care of business. They did that today against the Miami Heat, and we'll see if that sets the tone now for the rest of their postseason run going for banner number 18. We will be having a lot of Celtics talk here on the station after playoff games, so you can always tune here to WEEI for that. And then, on top of that, of course, we're bringing you all the Red Sox baseball all season long, and the Red Sox with a big win today, 6-1 over the Pirates. They complete the sweep over a bad team. And the Pirates, they're 11-11. They're much worse teams in Major League Baseball, but the Pirates giving off very early Tampa Bay Devil Rays vibes of sometimes getting off to good starts to a season, and then ultimately you peel back the layers of it, you realize this isn't that good of a team. But you need to take care of business. And the Red Sox, I've heard Lou Maloney bring this up a ton, and I think it's always a fair point. Last year's team did not do this against bad teams, so it's nice to see them actually take care of business.
They got swept by the same Pirates team.
That's a perfect point, right? That team came into Fenway and swept the Red Sox, and you're thinking, how the heck did that happen? That didn't happen here on the road, and that's nice to see for this team as they move forward here without Tristan Casas. Hopefully on Tuesday we talk about a lineup that has Rafi Devers back in it, and same with Tyler O'Neill, and the team gets more healthy. But obviously a big blow with Casas out with that left rib strain. But a win today, they head to Cleveland, begin that series on Tuesday. It's fun time in Boston sports. Bruins, of course, already off to a 1-0 lead in their series against the Maple Leafs. Celtics off to a 1-0 lead against the Miami Heat in their series. Red Sox now 13-10, a 91 win pace. Didn't quite expect that, but Red Sox will take it even with the injuries. Want to thank Zach Coe. Fantastic work behind the glass. Always fun working with my man, Zach. We had to show him some Bruins love since he's rocking the Bruins sweatshirt as well. I'm Joe Weil. Again, the final for the Red Sox game, 6-1 Red Sox win over the Pittsburgh Pirates. MassMutual pregame show on Tuesday will start at 5:10, first pitch at 6:10. Joe Castiglione, Lou Maloney have the call. Rich Keefe has pregame coverage for that on the MassMutual pregame show at 5:10. Thanks for joining us at WEEI. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.